And welcome back to another one of my podcasts. Well, you should be listening to this in February when I finished my yearly income tax returns and had to pay quite a lot of money this year. So I'm not really a happy bunny. However, let's hope the rest of the year turns out rather better. Over Christmas, they show a lot of famous musicals on TV, one of which is the wonderful film Singing in the Rain. And in that film is featured a lot of songs from previous era, because that film was made in the 50s. I think it's supposed to be in the late 20s when sound came into films, but in fact they sing one song which I believe was written later, about 1935. It was written by Nacho Herb Brown and Arthur Freed. It was certainly in a musical called Broadway Melody of 1936. So I could be wrong, it could be an earlier song, but that's why I believe that it was written, because this recording I'm going to give you of it was recorded on the 1st of July 1935, and I think it's one of the earliest recordings of it. But of course, don't hold me to that, I can always be wrong. For once, it's being played by an organisation about which I know very little. Not everybody that made records got famous, even if they were very proficient and perfectly as good as some of the more famous people. In this case, it's a dance band, not a jazz band. It plays a little bit too fast to be jazz. It's slightly frenetic, but of course it's just right for certain types of ballroom dancing. In this case, I suggest a quick step. The name of this band was Anson Weeks and his orchestra. The singer is called Kay St. Germain. As far as I can make out, Anson Weeks was born on St. Valentine's Day, 1896, and he was born in Oakland, which is pretty much San Francisco, and he died in Sacramento in 1969. He was a pianist, and he led quite a popular West Coast dance band from the late 20s right through to the 60s. But, as I say, I've never heard of that band. We tend to use the term territory bands for black jazz bands of the 30s, but I suppose you could call this a territory band too. As I say, it's perfectly good, there's nothing the matter with it, it's just that it wasn't outstanding and different and didn't have enough whatever it takes to become famous. However, this is one of the first and probably definitive versions of Broadway Rhythm, recorded, as I say, on the 1st of July, 1935.
Thank you.
Another performer who is forgotten now, perhaps undeservedly, was the mezzo Alice Cuccini. She was born in 1870 and she died in 1949. She was among the very first singers ever to be recorded, and this recording is from a Zonophone, which are records which are pretty rare and always looked for by operatic collectors. And she recorded this version of the famous aria, O Mio Fernando, in 1903, with just a piano, as was the way in those days. They hadn't got round to using any sort of orchestral accompaniment yet, which means we can hear her voice very clearly. As I say, I wouldn't call her one of the great singers, but even an averagely good singer of that time tended to be as good as anybody arrived now. Towards the end of her life, she retired to the famous Verdi's Casa de Riposo, an old age home for retired opera singers. And as I say, that's where she died in 1949 in Milan. However, this takes us back to a much happier time, 45 years earlier. Alice Cuccini singing O Mio Fernando. Actually, now that I listen to her singing, she's actually a lot better than I remembered her as being. Fine singer. As was the lady we're about to listen to, but very different. If you look at the early life of Edith Giovanna Gassion, the original name of the lady who used to be known later on as Edith Piaf. You can't believe that it's true. It's like an unbelievable biopic. She came from parents who were both performers, and again, in her background, there were a lot of prostitutes. Her mother literally abandoned her at birth. She grew up, first of all, with her mother's mother, and then her father, who was a street performer, left her because he'd been called up in 1916 to fight in World War I with his mother, who ran a brothel. And in a way, the women who worked at that brothel became the nearest to a family that she probably ever had. Cutting through a lot of stuff, when she was 15, she went on the road with her father, who was a sort of street acrobat, and started performing in the street. By 1935, after all sorts of things in her private life, she got taken on in the Pigalle area of Paris by a nightclub owner called Louis Leplet, and he gave her her first chance to work to a proper audience. She was very nervous to do so at first, and somebody helped her out and got her to wear the little black dress, which became what she was known for the rest of her life. Louis Leplet was then murdered, but she carried on somehow. It was a ridiculous story. At one point, they thought she was implicated in the murder, but of course she wasn't. Gradually, her reputation grew, and she became, of course, the Edith Piaf that we know. That first performance in a nightclub was in 1935, and it wasn't that long before she started recording. And of course, she's one of the few performers whose voice is so emotional that it just hits you in the gut whenever you hear her. Wonderful performer, wonderful singer. Well, I've given you one or two of her tracks before. This time I'm going to give you one of her absolutely classic recordings. It was made about 1949, 1950, and it's called Hymne à l'amour, Hymn to Love. Nothing matters if you love me, say the words. So here is Edith Piaf, probably the height of her powers, singing Hymne à l'amour. Remembering that you have to be very careful when playing her 78s, because for a long time the standard recording speed in France was 75, and they often transfer her recordings at 78, so you get her singing a sort of semitone above where she should be. That said, I think this is the right key. Edith Piaf, Hymne à l'amour.
Je renierai mes amis si tu me le demandais. On peut bien rire de moi, je ferai n'importe quoi si tu me le demandais. Si un jour la vie t'arrache à moi, si tu meurs, que tu sois loin de moi. Ma mort, si tu m'aimes. le bleu de toute l'immensité. Dans le ciel, plus de problèmes. Mon amour, crois-tu qu'on se...
And from one legend, we move to another one, although this one is probably more forgotten except by people in the know, such as record collectors and musical fans. I've played tracks by her before. She's one of my favourites, just as she was once one of my father's favourites, although he was able to see her perform live. She was born Lilith Mary Crosby in 1882 and survived till 1952, and she was, of course, Lily Morris. She had an interesting career which seemed to cover all sorts of parts of showbiz. Because of when she lived, her career sort of straddled musical, and later on it became variety, and she was, of course, just as popular at variety as she was in musical. She was born around Holborn, and she was the son of Morris Crosby, who, what did he do? He was an amateur songwriter, but a professional cigar maker. She started in the halls when she was only 11 years old, but she was soon seen by no less a person than Augustus Harris, which meant that it wasn't long before she had a small part in a pantomime at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. Her reputation soon grew, and she took the lead in Cinderella by 1897, although that was in Nottingham. Some people have trouble in making a transition from a child to adult performer, but this seemed no problem to her whatsoever. And she was often cast as a principal boy in pantomime. You know how it all works in pantomime or cross-dressing. When it came to musicals, she became a wonderful performer of famous songs such as Why Am I Always the Bridesmaid and Don't Have Any More Mrs. Moore. That last one is the one that I'm going to give you today. In the past, I've given you her electric recordings in the late 20s, but of course, she was old enough to have recorded under the acoustic system. Of course, by the early 20s, the acoustic system was pretty good, so you can still hear her very well. Don't Have Any More Mrs. Moore, however, and some other songs were also captured by the film cameras around 1930. And I think to really appreciate Lily Morris, you need to see her as well as hear her. Plus, it gives her time to do things at the right speed. 78 meant that she was restricted as to time before the 3 minutes or so ran out. So please do go to YouTube and type in the words Lily Morris. You won't be disappointed. Meanwhile, here is a record of Don't Have Any More Mrs. Moore, apparently recorded in 1923. And as always, it's an ultimately professional performance. She really was something special. Lily Morris.
Dear old soul, a Susan, she has got a scar, her husband's on the dole. I don't know how she manages to keep that lot, I'm sure. I said to her the day she was standing at the door, don't have any more, Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore, please don't have any more. The more you have, the more you want, they say, and enough is as good as a feast any day. If you have any more, Mrs. Moore, you'll have to take the house next door. They're all right when they're here,
take my advice, oh dear. Don't have any more auntie Moore. The little inn he uses most is called the Wooden Hut. He's first run in at opening time and laughed out when they're cut. And when he's had a few, he tries to do the la-di-da and gets so rappy when they shout at her across the bar. Don't have any more, Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore, please don't have any more. The more you have, the more you want, they say, and enough is as good as a feast any day. If you had any more, Mrs. Moore, you'll never get to your street door. Too many double gins give the ladies double chins. Don't have any more, Mrs. Moore. A lot of husbands who in love with her have fell. This one is the seventh one, and he don't look too well. A year ago she married him, and on their wedding day, as they were walking down the aisle, I heard the parson say, don't have any more, Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore, please don't have any more. The more they say, and enough is as good as a feast any day. If you have any more, Mrs. Moore, I don't know what we'll do. I'm sure our cemetery is so small, there'll be no room for them all. Don't have any more, Mrs. Moore.
Perhaps at this point I ought to remind some of you who perhaps haven't been told this before that throughout the 160 odd podcasts that I've prepared so far, I try not to repeat any tracks. On the other hand, I quite often repeat the same artist, as it were. And so you've got more than one track from various people who I love, like, for instance, Lily Morris. If you want to hear the other tracks, all you need to do is to start scrolling down and back through the 166 podcasts until you find one. I'm sure there's a sort of search function where you can type in the name of the artist you're looking for. For instance, the next artist I'm going to play is called Blanche Calloway, the eldest sister of Cab Calloway. She made very few records and I only have two tracks of her. I've already played her most famous one in podcast number 107. A song which was her sort of handshake song called I Need Loving. This time, I think it's the other side of the same 78, recorded in 1931, and it's called There's Rhythm in the River. Blanche Calloway is very interesting. She was born in 1902, and she died in 1978. She was part of a, what you might call, middle class and quite well-off black family. She was born in Rochester, but they were only there for a short while. Her father was involved in real estate, and their real home was in Baltimore, which is in Maryland. Her father died before World War I, and it was her mother who was the major influence on her. And she was a music teacher, and she encouraged the whole family to take piano lessons and vocal lessons, etc., etc. So it was that Blanche, Cable, later known as Cab, and the other brothers all became musical. Now, her mother's idea was that Blanche had a respectable profession, such as, I don't know, nursing or teaching. But of course, once she'd let the genie out of the bottle, she couldn't stop her daughter wanting to get into music. By the time she was 19, having only sung before that in church choirs, the usual beginning for a lot of black performers, she managed to get away and she started performing in cabarets. Like my friend Adelaide Hall, she was involved in UB Blake's famous epoch-changing musical of 1921 called Shuffle Along. She hero-worshipped a lady called Florence Mills, who sadly never recorded or had a film made of her, so we don't know how good she was, but she must have been pretty damn good to impress people the way she did. And she gradually, throughout the 20s, started working with various bands, including Andy Cook. But she really wanted to run her own band, and around 1931, she did get a bunch of musicians together, which were called Blanche Calloway and her Joy Boys. At some point during its existence, she had a very young Ben Webster on tenor and Cozy Cole on drums, so it was no mean band. In fact, it had a very high reputation. The problem is that she was both black and female, and in the America of those days, that was a double curse, and she struggled on till about 1938 or so, but after that, the band had to break up through bankruptcy. During World War II, she tried to put together, and did for a while, an all-female orchestra, but again, that didn't last that long. Nevertheless, she sang and played for probably about half a century, and in the end, it was cancer which did for her. Fascinating performer, and I don't think there would be a Cab Calloway without her influence. She was at one point more popular than he was, but of course, later on, he became a legend in his own right. Well, let's hear Blanche Calloway in 1931 singing There's Rhythm in the River. Well, now, looking back at what I've done this time, I didn't set out with a theme in mind of having nothing but female vocalists, But it seems to have turned out that way, so let's complete the whole podcast in the same manner. At least nobody can accuse me of being a misogynist. One of the great voices of the 20th century belonged to a lady who had, in the end, a tragically short life. Kathleen Ferrier was born in 1912 in Lancashire, and at the age of 15 won a competition as a classical pianist, and a year later earned her certificate as a proper piano teacher. Nevertheless, she mainly worked as a telephone operator until 1940, at which time she now won a local singing competition. She then, and only then, began to study voice and gave a few recitals in factories for war workers, often writing the arrangements herself because, as I say, she was a qualified pianist. In 1943, she was asked to sing in Handel's Messiah, and that was the beginning of an amazing career that just went berserk. Why? Because she had this amazing voice. Unfortunately, though, the whole career, once it got going at the end of World War II, only lasted 8 years because she died of cancer in October 1953, aged only 41. She seemed until then to have been a very happy person, no trauma of any sort in her life, until, of course, in those days, cancer was always a death sentence. She mainly stuck to oratorio work and folk songs, and when it came to opera, she tended to go towards the early operas of people like Handel, or in this case, Gluck. This is the famous aria from Orfeo, sung here in Italian and known by the two words che farò. It's an amazing recording. I don't know of any better version of this aria than by Kathleen Ferrier. Here it is. Thank you. Well, my New Year's resolution really should be to try and get more people listening to this podcast, which takes quite a time to put together. So, as always, I'm asking you, put a message on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you do. Tell your friends to come to Earl Oakin's Gramophone Show. As you know, the link is earloakin.blogspot.com. Please do that. If you're listening, you must like it, so why not spread the music where it should be? It doesn't cost anything to anybody, so there's no reason why they can't do it. Secondly, should you want to request any track, which I might have, the way to contact me, as always, is spats47@ntlworld.com. And with that, I'm going to say au revoir till the next time, but first playing you a track of mine. This year, I've been writing a lot of songs for some reason or other. This is a little one, which is a bit of an earworm, I like to think. I'm not quite sure what genre this is in. Some sort of pop music, I suppose, but not up to date. It's called Maybe. I hope that you like it. And with that, until next time, once more, au revoir.
You say you love me, want to know how I feel. Well, maybe I can love you. But to be certain, show that your love is real, then maybe I will love you. Too many times my dreams were broken and left me sad and blue. But if your love will last and be strong as steel, then maybe I will love you. Through so many years came so many tears. All my plans came to an end. Thought I'd found my love, thought that I would love, but she only wanted a friend. You say you love me, want to know how I feel. Well, maybe I can love you. But to be certain, show that your love is real, then maybe I will love you. Too many times my dreams were broken and left me sad and blue. But if your love will last and be strong as steel, then maybe I will love you. Can love you. And when you show me that your own love is real, then maybe I will love you. 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 Then maybe I will love you.